Let me welcome all of you to the service this afternoon. Those who have come as members and friends of our congregation, and some who have come from distant parts to be here, some from across the water as well. We're looking for the presence of the Lord. We're looking for God's seal on the commencement of this part of the ministry here. We thank you for coming, and we would like to commend the work to your prayers. Let me just explain what we will do to commence the service. First of all, there will be the door opening ceremony, and the keys are presented. And afterwards, there is the unveiling of the plaque. Now, the explanation of that is, we brought from the original building the foundation stones, and as well, a stone commemorating 21 years of my ministry in this room. So we wish to have an explanation for the presence of those stones, and that's why we have the plaque in place. So I will proceed now with other of my colleagues, and we will, in a short time, be starting the service proper. Thank you. I'm going to present the keys to Mr. Samuel Collins, one of our elders and a member of our building committee, and I suppose most members of the building committee would agree that Samuel has been here at all times, very faithfully, making sure that every department of the work was seen to, and I don't know where we would have been if we hadn't had assistance. So we're pleased to have them present the keys at this time.
But we have to say today the Lord has done great things for us. For us, we are glad. The congregation of this one has waited a long time for the opening of our new church building. And many times we have thought of doing this and that one in the other building, but we see the Lord direct us a different way. And when this site came up, we just thought that with the Lord had led us this way. And we are glad today that we stand here to open this new building. I was thinking of a verse as we come up to the time of opening, and asking the Lord to direct us to a verse of Scripture. And last Wednesday morning, very early, the Lord awoke me, and there was a verse came to my mind, and I want to leave it with us today. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And surely that is a word from the Lord for us all, for the congregation here today. Those first words, call upon me, that reminds us of prayer. And we do want this congregation to be a praying congregation. We are thankful that we have a praying congregation, but we shouldn't sit back and just stay there, but we want the Lord to add more praying people to the congregation. One night during the week, when Reverend Douglas was speaking at our prayer meeting, and he spoke about the house of God being a house of prayer. And whilst we are opening a new building today, we are opening a preaching house, but we're also opening a house of prayer. And as we think of the work here, we look forward to the Lord, and he will do great and many things for us. Yes, we're opening a new building, but the message is still the same. The Word of God doesn't change. And as we go forward, we pray that the Lord will ever keep this church, this door, a place where the Word of God is faithfully preached. Where men and women are brought the news of the gospel that Jesus saves, that all sin and come short of the glory of God. But there's none righteous, no, not one. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Dr. David, the moderator of our Cathedral Presbyterian Church, I'm delighted today to present to you the keys for the opening of this building.
It is a great delight for me to be here, standing at this closed door, which I hope this key will open. I was a bit worried that we were locking Mr. Douglas in, but he came on our way. We're glad he's with us. I can only say today that though our beginnings were small, our latter end has greatly increased. I was just speaking with Mr. Green there, and we were reminding ourselves of the old hut of the first sight. We were reminding ourselves of the first Lord's Day that I preached at that service, and the joy that we had at seeing him as his dear wife, certainly seen by the grace of God. And he was just telling me his whole family now are in Christ. What a joy it is to be back. This is a preaching place. This is a praying place. And we believe that this is going to be a God-glorified place. We're not opening a building for ecumenism or charismaticism. We're opening a place where Christ will be preached. Where the old book will be read, honored, and proclaimed. For men and women will be urged to come to Christ and receive his everlasting salvation, and when the saints shall meet for their comfort and fellowship in the gospel. And so, with great joy that I have, I not only have the joy of thinking of those early days, but I have the joy of knowing that the minister of the church here, Dr. John Dewis, is the president of our Whitby College of the Bible, was the first convert I had in my ministry when I started at Raymond Road in 1946. That's a long way ago. The Bible says, continue. If you continue, you shall be my disciples indeed. So we've already seen continuing fruit, and we hope to see a lot more of the same kind. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I will be settling for the 100-fold. It gives me very great pleasure today to declare open what door do I open? This meeting house open for the preaching of the gospel and the defense of the theme once for all delivered to the saints.
Now, with the opening pictures taken, I'm going to ask the Reverend Ken Elliott if he will lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Let us all unite together in prayer. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to thee today with gratitude and rejoicing. We want to thank thee for what thou hast done for this congregation. And while it's a most joyful occasion for them, we share in their joy. We thank thee for what thou hast wrought throughout the years, ever from the Free Presbyterian Witness came to this place. We thank thee for the many souls who have been saved by thy grace, for those who have gone into thy work, and we thank thee for the great testimony that exists in this place up to this very time. And our fathers, we think of David and his people in the days whenever preparation was being made for the building of the temple, how they set their affection to the house of God. So we thank thee for the many that have set their affection to this place of witness for the preaching of the gospel of Christ at this time. And of their own, personal worth and made sacrifices so that the cause of God would have such a noble edifice in which to meet. What a wonderful base for operations for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ in this great ways. And so we commit this congregation to thee and thy servants who lead in the work here. And we pray that in these days, multitudes will come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as the word of God is proclaimed week by week in this new house, we pray that many will hear the truth of the gospel, turn from their sins, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We commit today to thee. We pray for thy servant who will conduct the service, thy servant who will speak concerning the word, and all who will take part in any different way, and for our moderator as he preaches the word of God. We leave the entire proceedings with thee. We pray for thy coming in our midst, and the mighty baptism of thy power as the word of the Lord is proclaimed. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Come now to the unveiling of the plaque. As I have explained to most of you, we have brought the foundation stones of the original church building, and we have them in place here. Then, necessarily, a word of explanation to indicate that the stones are unveiled in this, our main opening in the new church site. There is the additional stone marking 21 years of ministry that the Lord gave me in this firm. We are reminded in all these texts of, first of all, the necessity of being weary and well doing, but in pressing on, knowing that in due season we shall reap and we will not faint by the grace of God. Then there is the text, thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. The mercy of God, like the truth of God, is infinite. And in my case, with so marking 21 years of ministry, it is a memorable text, so necessary in the life of every believer. We must run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It gives me great joy to unveil this life of these stones. Pray that the Lord will set his honor, his seal, on the ministry ever in this country.
I have your attention just very briefly. The Balfour Party are making their way out to the church hall. This is not on the order of service. It's a surprise, I'm sure, to the congregation as well. But we do have another unveiling to do. It only takes a few moments. I know you're sitting very patiently waiting for us, but we do want to open our new church halls, and we want to unveil a plaque, and we'll go to the church hall door, we'll sit and come in, unveil a plaque, and we'll be ready to come to the bear with me, please, for a few more minutes. Can I just say that we, as a congregation, appreciate the ministry of Dr. John Douglas, a faithful man who has stood fearlessly and presented the claims of Christ to all who have come into the house. It has been an idea of the session and committee that they would dedicate this church hall and the adjoining rooms to the faithful ministry of God's servant. This is a surprise to Dr. Douglas. He has known nothing of this, and many others as well, but we would like him to unveil this curtain and little plaque, and please read to the congregation what was written there.
It certainly is a surprise, for I was here yesterday and I did not see this stone. So everything has been done with a seeming swiftness as well as secrecy. I'm just happy that the words haven't disappeared altogether, but I find it a great honor to be here and still to present the glorious gospel of Christ And I know that all the honour and all the glory is His. We have to say, like the apostle, it was the Lord who counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And in the remainder of my days, my prayer remains that the unction of God might abide upon me, and not only upon me, but upon all who faithfully serve Christ the Lord. It gives me great pleasure to unveil this plaque, and I will read it to you. The Douglas Suite opened on 4th of May 2002 in appreciation of 26 years faithful ministry by Dr. John Douglas. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 58, I'd like to thank the office bearers of the church and members of the congregation for this tribute. Difficult to find the words when they're totally taken by surprise, as I am, but I do wish to thank you all very sincerely. Thank you.
We apologize for the delay. There were a lot of photographs that had been taken and videos were running, so we apologize for that. We're about to start now with the rate, of course. We're turning to the Psalm 124. It's on the first page of the order of service. Now Israel, they say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause been failed, if that the Lord had not our rights sustained, till then we must desire to stay, rose up in wrath to make of us therefore. Let's really lift our hearts and praise and worship to God this afternoon. Standing up to the key, please.
Thank you.
Dr. S.B. Cook, who is no stranger to most here. He is a past deputy moderator of our denomination. We're delighted to be with us today on this special occasion. We're going to ask the Reverend Cook, please, if you'd come and open our service in prayer.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we continue in thy holy presence, in the peerless and precious name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We desire, Father, at the very commencement of this time of praise and worship and thanksgiving, that the Lord Jesus might be extolled and magnified and uplifted in the midst. We are conscious, Lord, of those of us who are redeemed by his precious blood, that he is our Savior, our personal Savior, the one who loved us even unto death. And we thank thee, Father, upon every remembrance of his finished work upon the cross at Calvary. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that thou art not only our Savior, but on occasions like this we are reminded that thou art the great head of the church. And our Father, it is from thee all blessings flow. For thou hast promised that thou wilt build thy church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And our Father, we do thank thee for what has been accomplished in this part of thy vineyard. We thank thee, Lord, for the work that has been established here for many years. And we rejoice in every evidence of thy goodness and thy presence in the midst. And now, Lord, that this congregation would go forth and become even, we believe, greater established in this part of thy vineyard. We look to thee, Father, that thy continued blessing might be their portion. O God, we do thank thee for this beautiful building. We thank thee, Lord, for thy people who sanctify the fresh thy presence with us. The Lord said, even if there were only two or three men together in thy name, there thou art in the midst of them. We thank thee, Lord, for the redeemed people of this congregation. We thank thee, our Father, for their faithfulness in days past. And our God, we do commend them again and afresh into thy care and into thy keeping, that their numbers may multiply and increase in the days that lie ahead. We pray, Lord, that this building might resound to thy praise, to thine honor, and to the uplifting of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that it might be a place where prayer is offered and prayer will be answered. And our Father, that thy people might be nurtured and fed with the manna that is from above, the blessing of the Lord being their portion. Though God, we do remember those who occupy the pulpit of this church. We thank the Lord for days past and for those who have led the work so faithfully and so successfully. And we pray, Lord, for all who not only at this time but in forthcoming years, it is thy will, might stand before this congregation. We pray, Lord, that this pulpit might be protected by thyself, that there will always be a time when a man of thy choice will minister thy truth. Always a time when a man born again of the Spirit of God will preach forth the unsearchable riches of a Savior's love. Lord, we look to thee. Thou art the great King and Head of the Church. We commit this congregation into thy care, into thy keeping. Ask thee, Lord, to bless not only now and all who labor at this time, but in thy mind and will, in days, and if it is thy will years to come, that the blessing of thyself might continue to rest upon this people. Now, Father, bless us this day. Remember all who will participate. And Lord, we remember my servant who will minister thy word today. Be to him all that he needs. May he be here in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May thy presence be poured out in the midst, and we shall give thee the praise. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We thank Dr. Cook very much. Indeed, we're delighted this afternoon to welcome as our soloist, the Reverend William McCrae. We had a little card originally done out. We were going to give this out to perhaps a couple of hundred people, and we did up a little fancy card, and during the first reading of it, it was noticed that the preacher was Dr. Ian Richard Cowan Paisley, but instead of soloist, it had socialist Reverend William McCrae. So he must have changed his political affiliation. He decided to print them with Reverend Alan Murphy and Twinbrook and do some outreach with them. And we certainly would have got a crowd out for that. But he's here today as a soloist, not as a socialist, but we're delighted to welcome him to the House of the Lord.
Thank the Lord for that message and song.
Let us all turn together to the Word of God. The Song of Solomon. First of all, portions from chapter 6. Then some words again from the 8th chapter. We have the book of Psalms, Proverbs, and after that Ecclesiastes, then Song of Solomon. Let us take time and turn up the place in the scriptures. Song of Solomon, in the chapter 6. Reading from the end of the chapter, from verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Wherever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of a minute. Return, return, Paul Shulamite. Return, return that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, a company of two armies. Welcome, chapter 8. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree, there thy mother brought thee forth. There is he that brought thee forth, to draw thee forth and bear thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, and as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be content. Amen. May the Lord bless your hearts, the reading of His holy and inspired word for His name's sake. I have hardly yet recovered from that surprise, and I'm still finding it difficult to locate any words at all. But I'm very happy to be here, and I know the members and adherents of our own congregation are thrilled to have the privilege of seeing this day. We owe so much to the Lord. We would not be here at all. We would not have a building on this property, nor would we have a minister, if we did not have the Savior with us. So let me, in the first place, seek to honor the Lord and to have you give Him thanks for putting here an open door for the preaching of His name. Pray always that the gospel of Christ and its fullness may be declared from this house. That as long as these doors are open, men and women come in, they will hear of the Savior, mighty to save, the one who speaks in righteousness. We do thank the Lord for today, and it is my desire, and I know the desire of many, just to take this property, to give it back to the Lord, for we see it as a gift from God. We want to put it back into His hands and pray that He will take it and use it glory of his name. There is no book like the Bible. There is no message like the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation but that which he gives. I believe that it's today to be in God's house and to acknowledge his faithfulness and the power of his holy word. Let me extend a personal welcome to the many friends who are here, visitors from all ever so many congregations. Delighted to see many ministers from the Free Presbyterian Church, and we give you a very personal welcome here. Then, if we start thinking of the property itself, we're honored to have the presence of our architect here today, Mr. Bobby Hewitt, of SV Creator. If I can refer to him by his Christian name, I feel I can, because I have known him for quite a number of years, probably more years than he would care to recall, more years than I would care to mention. However, that doesn't make him by any means the oldest person in this house. But Bobby, may I say, on behalf of our building committee, and then the others in the congregation, how much we owe to you for your help, ever any help, I may say, and that we are thankful for your talents and the assistance that you've given over these months, moving into the years as well. We have ever so many present who have had a part in the election of this house. I refer now to many of the builder's suppliers, and indeed some of the workmen as well, who are present for this service. If I were to start going into the long list, I would find that it was a long list indeed, and there would be the likelihood of leaving someone out. But I want to say to the suppliers and certainly to the workmen, your contribution to the direction of this house is to be noted. Has been noted already, but continue to be noted through the coming days. This building sets, I think you will allow me to say, a standard of excellence. Throughout from the very beginning, if I make reference to your builders committee, they have the intention of putting up a building here which would honor the Lord above all. And I feel that having come to this point, that's exactly what we can say. We would like to thank you then, those of you who came to work here, and there were a few also who put in overtime and did it out of the fullness of their heart. We did it to the Lord. And I know that that labor was not in vain in the Lord. I want to thank you with all my heart. Our memories go back naturally to the beginning of things. And last Lord's Day, when we had our final services in what I call the old building, we did try to retrace the paths. I spoke then of the humble beginnings and what some call the hut. It was just a portable wooden building. It's still there. Just about every night when winter storms came up, or springtime storms for that matter, for they were fierce, I turned over in my bed and waited for a crash. I felt sure it's away tonight, but this fierce wind has come up. But still it stood, as far as I know, it's still there today. Humble beginnings. But that wee place has treasured memories. Doesn't look anything. You'd be ashamed of it, in fact. Now, in a state of dilapidation, it has a roof to it that is up and down like the hills of Ireland, and good ready to come down. But on the high top of the Bermudas out there, mighty times of God. I'll be sorry to leave that old dilapidated property. I'll be sorry to see it come down. I treasure that no others do.
Those very precious times of God.
We could have called it well a meeting house, because it was a meeting place, that sacred trysting place between the Lord and our souls. Then we moved over to what was for many years the permanent home of the congregation. By and by, it was need for renovation. Renovations are so costly, many of us felt there are so much to be done by way of renovation, we may as well start anew of everything to the taste. And so that explains how we've come to be here. Now that we are here, this place is intended, as I think I already indicated, to be a tribute to the Lord. And so it was in my heart. I don't think anyone really in the congregation or our regular committee or in the Builders Committee disagreed, but it was certainly in my heart to make this place a testimony in itself, like a great big Bible in itself. So it was within our desire to put the scripture text on the windows, to have the scripture text behind us here prominently above the pulpit, and again on the under wall above the balcony. Also on the main doors, entering into the church proper and into our church hall, so that throughout this property there is the witness of God's holy word. I feel that maybe I should have endeavored to put many more scripture texts in, but if you were to cut the verses that either in full or in part are printed out here, you could find there are 40 verses of scripture counting the text on the foundation stones. There was an extra verse that I hadn't counted in, and I was to learn just moments ago of that. But there would then be an excess of 40 scripture texts. Why not? Above my head here, in huge letters, on this white wall, there's a very precious portion of scripture, the last invitation, of the Bible, the outgoings of God's heart, the sinful men, that we were to allow that they read through the scriptures and proceeded from the Old to the New Testament and got right through to the last book of the Bible, the last chapter. And God would say in terms as they are expressed of God, come. On these windows, on the main doors, there is a theme. That theme is the blood of the cross. I know that throughout the evangelical world, there is still the presentation of the gospel. Whether we live in this country or in America, elsewhere in the world as well, thankfully, there is a presentation of the gospel still. But you may have noticed in this present time the tendency for some to say, well, we have God's word. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven, and he died to take away our sins. And now all you have to do is to come and believe in him. Maybe in some ways I have outlined the gospel as many presented. And I have felt over and over again that there has been not a deliberate omission, but a sad omission. The omission of the shed blood. There's no forgiveness. There is no ground whereby a sinner, a guilty, lost sinner, or any other kind of sinner, can obtain mercy in the sight of God but by the shed blood. So, on these windows, we have texts that tell out the message of the redeeming blood of the Lamb. And on the doorway is there, there is the presentation of this great theme of atonement. But without the atoning blood, no acceptance of God and the peace of God and hope for eternity. In this part, then, the sanctuary, We have put an emphasis on the cross, even the ivory here, where the crimson steel may, in a sense, back home the verse, that wonderful passage from Isaiah, "O your sins be as scarlet, it will be as white as snow, and the rest will come to mind as you think about the words. Though they be red like crimson, and that's the color here, it shall be as snow." The theme then here is the theme of the cross. And then alongside of us in the church hall, and we have an overflow congregation there, and we do not wish them to feel that in some senses they're out of the service, and now I speak particularly to them. But the theme in the church hall is the Lord's return, the two focal points of Bible history, the cross and the coming, the shed blood of Calvary that seals our redemption. And then that glorious day, blessed hope of the believer, when the King shall come, when the trumpet shall sound, and Christ the Lord shall descend the skies. I pray that as you contemplate these things, as you listen also to God's word, that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you. I'd like to welcome all our guests here with me in the pulpit. Our moderator, Dr. Paisley, personal joy for me to have him here today. I owe so much to him. And I'm thankful for his influence and for his leadership in the church. Someone was saying to me the other day, I wasn't sure whether they were winding it up or not, but they were saying, "Dr. Paisley has lost his voice. And now you'll have to come and preach on the opening day." I made a little reply to that. I know my friends very well, but no, it wasn't his voice. I think he had a little trouble with his eye. I'm so pleased that we're able to be here today. Dr. Cook, my esteemed cousin, whom we have had for companion and friend over the years of our lifetime. Mr. Dave, who's my brother-in-law. I have a lot of friends here, other friends as well. But he was in on things at the very beginning of the work here this morning. Mr. Isaac Lyons, and I'm very pleased that his family is represented here today. Mr. and Mrs. Don McCandless, appreciate you coming. And our minds go back to those early days. Mr. Lyons gave the original site. And we've been there for these many years, presenting the gospel of Christ. And now we've come to this point in time. We have our members, and we're thankful for them, but we also have our anticipation of the future. Reverend Ken Elliott, ministering Holy Dollar, he's going to be the evangelist in the gospel campaign that begins tomorrow. Mr. McCrae, who has been with us on so many occasions, we're delighted to have him here to send the gospel today as well. And we have a member of Parliament for this constituency, Mr. Donaldson. I'm delighted that we're able to fit in time and come for the opening service today. Now, I just arrived off my remarks. I hope I haven't taken up too much of your time, but we owe a great debt of gratitude to members of our building committee. A woman's member isn't able to be here because we had difficulty fixing on the day of opening. So Mr. David Garrett, he had arranged to go on holiday and he cannot be here. But if I could call on the members of the building committee to come to the platform here to glorify the platform, I really want to greet you in the presence of the congregation. So our brother, Mr. Samuel Collins, brother, Mr. Noel Thompson, Mr. Henry Price, our brother, Mr. Donald Manna, brother, Mr. Eric Graham, if you would come to the platform area, please.
making sure that we're prepared in all quarters. We are very indebted to the members of our village together. All of them have worked very hard over most of 2 years, maybe longer than that. We didn't always agree, but we never fell out. And you take the intricacies of a building like this, well, of necessity, opinions differ. We still sought the mind of the Lord, however. We knew that God's way would be the best way. And if we could not come to a ready decision, then there was always another day. It was a pleasure to work with these men. I suppose I may say it myself, I was in the hot seat, so my opinions differed. I was there to try and draw a line through the middle and eventually find the right decision. It's been a pleasure to work with them. They have spent many, many long hours, and you will know insofar as you can see the superb finish of this building. All of this does not come about by mere chance or accident. Long hours of thought and planning have gone into it. And I wish to recognize the labors of these men. I know already members of our regular committee have appreciated their work, and very kindly they provided a meal for members of the committee and their wives, and a very enjoyable evening we have, and they say. But here is something tangible for each member in the Builders Committee to remember their work by, especially to remember today. I'm going to call Mr. Samuel Collins first of all. We gave him quite a number of titles. In fact, the time came when in the upper room above the baptismal area there at the church hall, we thought we would install a shower unit, and somebody mentioned putting a bed in because Brother Samuel was there for many in the early morning, as was Brother Henry in the very early morning, and we found them in the evening time as well quite often. There are people who referred to Samuel as the gaffer, sometimes more before, it seemed far worse. And I even heard of being called a very, very fancy title, the Director of Building Operations. So, Samuel gives me great joy to present this little memento to you. All right, Samuel, if you can come back again. Not taking the docket, but and to Brother Neville Thompson. Well, I have great joy in presenting this to you. Thank you. And to my brother Henry Price, Emily and Samuel, even here at all hours, we do appreciate all your contributions. You've guided us in many, many ways, and we're thankful, and I enjoy presenting this to you today. Well, Mama, Brother Dummy, you've come. We appreciate also your help and your presence in the Building Committee and all the ways that you guided us. Thank you so much. And now our brother Harry Graham, Eric, is a part of session here, and he has been with us throughout in our building committee discussions. He will agree with me, we had some difficult times, but looking back now, we're all thankful that in the past, we're thankful that everything came out as well as it did. So I want to thank all the members of our building committee. It's all exceedingly well done. You've done it on the Lord. You've done it on the Lord. And this building is a tribute to your endeavors. Harry, let me present this to you. Thank you.
to really enjoy the project as much as the rest of us. You really enjoy your good games and your hard work and all the great work. We pray that God bless you on the day ahead. Thank you, Reverend Thomas Martin. How is it? Come forward, please. Reverend Martin, it gives me a good pleasure today to present this token for the opening of this house today. I trust that we'll keep you in remembrance of this day. We have enjoyed your ministry in this house. Indeed, we have prayed many of the prayer meetings, and God will bless the few of you. We're thankful to God for being faithful men of God who preach the whole counsel of God in this congregation for both of you very asking. And we pray that today is heavy with the blessing and mercy in this session.
If I can ask Owens just to stay here a moment. We don't have the bed in readiness yet, but his wife Laura will be very, very pleased to have him restored to the home scene again. We never did quite manage to buy the bed and get it installed here. But many of the friends here, Samuel, would very much like to present to you with an all expenses holiday to the High League Conference. Care to accept that. But it's at least it's a memento. Thank you.
I
so much. Was made a lot easier by the fact that he had a very
faithful team working with them, and I would like to thank all the ladies. There is the presentation of flowers, and I'm going to ask Mrs. Graham if she would come forward, and Mrs. Norton also, and Mrs. Collins. Mrs. Graham is going to make a presentation to Mrs. Paisley. Thank you so much, ladies. May I say a little word on behalf of those who receive these presentations. We thank you for presenting them, and also for members of the committee who so generously cooperate with us. I owe a lot to my colleagues in the ministry, to many who are here in service. Certainly to those here with me here in the program. I know that we would not like them to come to this point today in their lifetime, in their ministry, without having some recollections of this time, even memories of the presence of God here in the service. We certainly would like to acknowledge the coming, and if I can make some presentations to my colleagues in the ministry who are with me, then the focus, first of all, to your moderator, Dr. Fusel. I'm so delighted to be here, and to hear this presentation to you. Thank you. Dr. Fusel, thank you for coming, and thank you for us, and Mrs. Fusel.
Preaching of the
gospel. We rejoice with you. And we're praying for you. We have a mission on the sail starting tomorrow evening. We're not able to go down to the waters, so we can pick the bus. And we're just praying for you. And we push together. And we'll see many souls come to know the Lord. There is an apology from the Catholic moderator, the Reverend Ian Bates. He was said to the minister, minister session and congregation of this Word Free Presbyterian Church. We would like to congratulate you on reaching this historic milestone in the history of your congregation to this Word. And as you open your new building today, we thank God for his blessing upon you in the Word of God in the past, and for every remembrance of you in the gospel. It is our earnest prayer that the Lord would send you showers of refreshing from his presence, and fill your new building with his glory and his power. We leave you with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We are sorry we cannot be present with you as we are in Liverpool for the main convention. May God richly bless you in the service today. Amen. We just said that we are commencing our services proper tomorrow, Lord's Day, at 11:30 and 7 o'clock in the evening. That will commence our 3-week gospel campaign. Alongside that, the first week from 6:30 to 7:15, we're running a children's mission. The evangelist will be Mr. Colin Tinsley. And we're looking forward to having a good time with the boys and girls and getting the children under the sign of the gospel. The mission will continue each weekday at 8 o'clock on Lord's Day at 7 o'clock in the evening, Saturday accepted. So keep that in mind. I'm going to move on now very quickly. We're coming to the offering then. And please let the river. But before we pick up the offering, could I say to those who are under our income tax scheme, if you're at all giving and you're a taxpayer, then if you put loose money into the offering plate today, we'll not be able to know exactly who has put that in. So it would be very important that you either designate it with your own name or to the covenant scheme with your number. Don't say to us, I put £1,000 in, and we didn't do that because we're going to have to pay the tax on that you gave £1,000. Make sure you tell us that you either put it in an envelope or else if you tell the treasurer to please. And let's be honest about that, and put it in and make sure we get the right amount. We want not to ask the tax on the money we're not entitled to. But it is a good way to recover some more money for the building fund. We trust you to keep that in mind. The video of today's service will be available, and its price is £10, and all proceeds, I take it, will go into the building fund. Someone will say that you have a target that you want to reach today. You have a target that you want to get to the offering. So no one has told me how much I should push for. No one has asked me to ask the moderator how much he should believe you for. But I do have something in mind. In 1972, those of you who can remember that, I can barely remember it. And we have Mr. Dubas here pushing on, and his cousin and his brother-in-law, and the Reverend Craig, we look like his sons rather than anything else. We're here, but we vaguely remember 1972, but the old building was put up for the price of £17,500. That's not much. There's people on this side could give that today, and some could give more than that over this side. So if we set the target today for £17,500, that's a very small figure, isn't it? This building cost in the region of £1.1 million to put up. So £17,500 isn't enough a lot to us for your support. We already have, as offerings to date, £3,810. So that's plenty of water to find the pump of your giving. We have a gift of £1,150, £1,000 from our Hillsborough Church, another £250 as a personal gift, £200 from Drumore, and £100 from Alma Hitch, £250 from Comfort, a lady, Mrs. Bryans, woman known by the congregation here. She's living over in the United States of America. She has sent us $100, convert that into sterling, and we've added on to the price here. And then we have the Martyrs Memorial Church, who have sent us, etc., where they sent in fact £300 and Margaret Kellum, £300. So there's £3,800, and we're well on the way to get started. So dig deep and sing well, and make sure you're cheerful. Give her a little seat, please, for the first part of our offering hymn, and then after that, we'll stand up.
Thank you. Lord, bring this to me.